for over 5 acres and stuff like that, for exactly what that is, and come up with, for on a property of less than 5 acres, of farm, truck, garden, orchard, or uses, for any uses, to figure out exactly what is permitted, not permitted, and getting a true definition so everybody's on a level playing field for what is going on. Also, too, is maybe with the animal counts, use units, and figure out what I've been speaking about for the longest time now. We're trying to pull everything together and come up with that definition exactly and where everything belongs. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Public comment. Come on down, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you again. I'm Jeff Stone from Milton. I'm with SARDS, the Sussex Alliance for Responsible Growth. My comments this morning concern the draft economic development element you'll be dealing with. Just by way of background, I spent over 40 years in public, private, and not-for-profit economic and business development here in Delaware and New Hampshire and New Jersey, Maryland, and D.C. My biggest takeaway from that experience is that trying to influence an economy, micro or macro, is not easy and usually is only moderately successful at best. Regarding the draft element, I sent you 11 pages of comments last evening. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you stayed up late studying them closely. And I recognize that they might not even be relevant if the draft you're going to review today is different from the one that was presented online. So I just wanted to offer a few general lessons that I've learned over the years. One, what was reviewed that's online is a typical draft element that tries to provide something for everyone with lots of generalities and few specifics. Unfortunately, it's completely unrealistic and unachievable, considering the staffing levels and the other resources the county currently provide to the effort or could realistically provide in the future. The council must decide what are the most important one, two, or three things for the county to accomplish and commit to them. Create new jobs? Well, the county already has a low unemployment rate. Perhaps underemployment's an issue. Increase tax revenues. The county, thanks to new construction, already runs a surplus and has for a number of years. Increase the number of visitors to the county. Already millions visit annually. Preserve farming operations. Whatever it or they are, you need to decide and commit to them and understand it will take years to show any meaningful impact. Be realistic with your expectations, and the public will also. Realistically assess the resources you are willing to commit to these efforts. Mr. Lawson has cautioned a number of times during these workshops about raising expectations and the resources it would take to achieve the desired results. For example, the draft element, again, the one online, calls for the preparation of 3 supply chains analysis, an analysis of regulations, a business cost analysis, a buy local analysis, an examination of the economic development process, the establishment of 3 working groups, and or advisory committees. How many staff and consultants will it take to do this? And what are the expected outcomes and value to the county? I know and respect your economic development director and his capabilities, but there's no way, with the resources available, he can accomplish even some of these and still respond to the everyday elements of the job. 3, set clear priorities. Not everything is as important as everything else. Does forestry have a higher priority than tourism? Does attracting new businesses have priority over local business retention and expansion? Should ag businesses have a priority over technology businesses? This draft element doesn't meet smart planning standards of being specific, measurable, achievable, results-oriented, and time-based. And while the entire plan should meet these standards, it's more critical in this element, since you're dealing with the business community who live and die by smart standards. Finally, don't presume the county exists in an economic cocoon. The draft element seems to assume that economies are static. Sussex exists unaffected by the cities, towns, counties, states, countries, and worlds around it. 2008 should not be forgotten. And if the last 10 years have provided any lessons, it's that the local economy is dynamic and impacted heavily by the region and state around it, as well as national and even international trends. For example, tourism to and events in Ocean City impact southern Delaware. The recent Dover NASCAR races impacted Delaware and Sussex County. Grain prices in the Midwest, greatly impact the farm community. What would new tariffs do to Sussex County soybean growers? That's it. 40 years in a nutshell. It's that simple and that complex and never easy. I hope you'll read the comments we submitted, even if the draft has already changed. There are a lot of important challenges and takeaways in those comments. If we can be assistance, please let us know. Thanks for this.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Public comment. Public comment. Now, this is the time for the public to make any comments they want to. Once we start the workshop, there is no more public comments. So, anybody, last shot, last call. Okay, John, we're going to move on to our first thing is going to be discussed with the Department of Agriculture Secretary, Mr. Skuse. Come on down, sir.
Actually, Mike, before we get started, how would the public have the opportunity to respond to his comments?
In writing or on our website?
Or next week or next workshop?
Or any future.
Yeah, anytime in the morning.
Okay, so we'll make sure that's a known.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Mr. President and members of the council. We appreciate the opportunity to be here today to talk a little bit about agriculture, the importance of agriculture to the state of Delaware, Sussex County, and our agriculture land preservation program, again, and what it means for the state of Delaware. As many of you know, agriculture is the number one industry in the state of Delaware. $5 billion in direct economic impact and over $8 billion in total economic impact, making it the number one industry in the state of Delaware, providing 30,000 jobs. Approximately 2,500 family farms, approximately 500,000 acres, 440,000 acres of that is in cropland, according to the 2012 census. And we are the number one state in lima beans, so I would encourage all the council and everyone here to eat as many lima beans as you can so we can continue to be the number one state in lima bean production. Sussex County agriculture, though, when you look at the state of Delaware and you look at Sussex County, this is really where a great deal, in fact, the most of the agriculture in our state occurs. When you look at $2.9 billion in direct economic impact, $3.8 billion in total economic impact to the county, providing about 15,400 jobs and 1,200 family farms, farming 272,000 acres here in Sussex County. Sussex County is the number one county in broiler production in the entire United States. This is the birthplace of the modern broiler industry, and it is and continues to be the number one poultry producing county here in the country. Sussex County, another little known fact, it's in the top 5% of all counties in the United States in value of vegetables sold. The importance of that cannot be understated. We have 9 grain elevators here in Sussex County, 4 poultry processing plants, 2 vegetable processors, 1 cucumber grading facility, and last night I had the opportunity to visit Proximity Malt around Laurel and get the tour of that facility. That's a tremendous investment that a company has made here because of the agriculture here in Sussex County and its proximity to large markets, especially for the craft beer industry. So they've made a tremendous investment here in Sussex County because of the agriculture that we have here and the quality of the producers that we have in the state of Delaware. You know, our farmers are second to none to anyone in the United States. When you look at ag land preservation, there are 334 farms in Sussex totaling 43,800 acres at a cost of $86.5 million. When you look at districts, areas that have not been permanently protected and preserved yet, there's another 21,000 acres that are enrolled in those preservation districts. We've been very fortunate that we've been able to get approximately $12 million in county funding over the years when the legislation was changed to allow the counties to put funding into ag land preservation. Sussex County was the very first county that put money into the program after that legislation was passed, and Sussex so far has provided $3.1 million for rounds 8, 12, and 14. So when you look at what the program has done here for Sussex County, another added benefit is the Young Farmer Loan Program. There's 25 loans in Sussex County that totaled $5.3 million and allowed our young producers to get started in agriculture to purchase approximately 1,900 acres. So again, Sussex County is the leader in agriculture. And we greatly appreciate the work that the county has done to help us fund programs in the past. We would appreciate going forward the county provide us additional funding for the Agland Preservation Program. As you are well aware, the last few years it's been very difficult because of finances, especially at the state level, to get the full funding for a program. The program is supposed to be funded at $10 million a year, and that hasn't happened for quite some time. So we would greatly appreciate any help that the county can give us. My deputy, Austin Short, Sussex County native, I'd like to have Austin go through some of the work for the next round and what we're looking at.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
I will be brief. I'll just give you a quick overview of where we are with this round. As you know, we do one round a year. We've been lucky enough for 22 straight years to have at least some funding to purchase ag land throughout the state, ag land easements. So for this current round, we appraised 92 farms in Sussex. And again, it's a voluntary program. Landowners sign up for it on their own. They request to be appraised on their own at their own discretion. And then we have them appraised at our cost. So we appraised 92 farms this year in Sussex, totaling about 9,300 acres. Of those 92 farms, 21 submitted a bid, i.e. they put in a bid to have their easement sold or purchased by the state. That totals just under 1,900 acres, those 21 farms. We have about $2.5 million of state money to spend statewide, not just in Sussex, but throughout the state. We have about $1.4 million in federal funds from USDA to spend throughout the state. And in Sussex only, we also have some funding from the U.S. Navy, Department of Defense, where they provide funds to preserve lands either around military establishments or in testing areas where they want to minimize the impact of homes, etc. So it's actually Patuxent River Naval Station, and even though it's across the bay, they do testing all the way over into Sussex. So we also have funds available to preserve from the Navy. We have to match those funds. But for farms in southwestern Sussex, where their footprint extends over from Patuxent.
Wait,
so
the Navy.
Having said all that, we have some money out there. It's not as much as we'd like to have. We usually get $10 million in state funding, as Michael alluded to. But we do have some funds this year, and I think I'm coming back next week to talk more in depth about individual properties, but certainly we hope we encourage you to think about that, not just for this year, but going forward as well as you look at your comp plan and your plans for the future. Hopefully we could work together and reserve more farms in Sussex to help make sure Sussex remains as vital to agriculture as it is today.
And we would ask the members of the council to seriously consider helping us out with funding the next round of ag land preservation. And with the numbers that I provided you about the importance of agriculture in Sussex County, as you move forward with your comprehensive plan, we would hope that you would take those numbers and the importance that agriculture plays in this county, the role that it plays, into consideration as you do your comp plan going forward.
Well, certainly as Councilman Wilson makes us aware every Tuesday at least, agriculture is certainly the number one thing in this county. And I'm sure this council is committed to making sure it stays that way. But thank you for coming down. But I think this.
We've got to ask some questions.
Mr. Cole has some questions and maybe some ideas he would like some feedback from you on, I think, if you have any suggestions.
Sure, Mr. President.
Mr. Cole?
Yes. Now, my concern is after being here as many years as I've been here, I know there's funding out there, but then, you know, there's got to be something to complement that because the funding, as you just alluded to, there's a lack of funds to really have an impact. So how can we complement that with some good land use decisions here at the county with this land use plan that will last for the next 10 years and have an impact on, like you said, the number one industry in Delaware and of course, Sussex County too, probably. I don't think that what we currently, the way we address it, the AR1 district, which is a residential district as well as a agricultural district. And I'm very concerned that under this current scenario that we've been operating under, we've seen a tremendous loss of some of the best farmland in Sussex County to development. We've seen it gobbled up, you know, especially near the coastal area and other, you know, and around now some of the towns. I mean, around Milford and around everywhere. So it's happening throughout the county. There's a lot of people coming here. And if we're going to keep this, keep agriculture so important, and I think what we ought to do, we're seeing Purdue wanting to move into Delaware. We're seeing Mount Air, you know, putting headquarters here. We're still such an important component to, especially poultry and stuff. I fear that, I know in the coastal area where I live, you know, the chicken trucks, you don't see them as much anymore because it's hard to get in there, it's hard to fight the traffic, it's et cetera, et cetera. So I'd like to see something in this land use plan maybe that would do something to help with land use and not have to always buy it, you know, pay somebody to be stay in agriculture. And I don't think money's the answer, so I'd like to see, you know, addressed maybe in zoning. And I shared with you the other day, we have this ag district where you have paid money to people to give up something, right? They've given up their development rights. And in that scenario, there are certain standards they've got to live by. And they're fine. They volunteered to do it, right? And they've been paid anyway. So I would like to see if we could create an ag district starting with that 44,000 acres. And then the AR district, which is a residential district, and I got a problem where, say, a farmer has 100 acres and the guy and the farmer next door, you know, and the family of development has moved out around it or something. Anyway, this guy next door could put in pigs, chickens, et cetera, right? And that would ruin the residential value of this adjoining parcel because of the ag activity here. So the residential and the ag, you know, sometimes conflict, and we got problems. So if we could create an ag district with certain incentives, start with the 44,000 acres where people have already given up the rights, so we don't take a thing from anybody. The AR1 district would remain the same. But if you wanted to get, I could see where we would say, because AR1's a residential district, you can no longer put chicken houses in the AR1 district. You would have to go to an ag district. So intensive farming, whether it's poultry, chickens, I mean, or I'd say poultry or pigs or cows or whatever, you'd have to be in the ag district. Maybe to sell their development rights, they'd have to be in the ag district and go out of that residential area known as AR1. And anyway, through incentives, through different things, I think we could we've talked about it. We would love to see some of these ag industries be a permitted use, possibly in the agricultural residential district. Well, I say no, we can't do that because it's a residential a residential zone also. But if you had an ag district and had some permitted uses there, another incentive. So when somebody wants to do these you know, manure to energy or whatever it is, or fertilizer and stuff, that would be a permitted use maybe in an ag district. So anyway, anybody with AR1 land, I would say nobody's forced to change anything. They continue to keep those AR1 lands. They can continue to farm it. But then certain incentives would make them want to go to this ag district because they can do this, this, and this, which they can't do any longer. So yes, the county council would have to change some things in what's permitted in the AR1 district. And I personally would be willing to do it. We're seeing these mega chicken farms down in Lower Eastern Shore. We've been talking about it here. See, something like that could be permitted in the ag district, but not in an AR1 district. I just think it's inappropriate to be able to mix the residential and the farming, especially intensive farming, in one district. So I think that if farmers want to continue farming for the next couple generations, and if we want to protect what you just rattled off here about how important it is to Sussex County and Delaware, and we need to make a change, and And what I'm kind of proposing doesn't force anybody to give up any of their residential component. If you want to stay AR1, fine. But maybe you'll have to lose something, and that would be, you can't put in chicken houses. You can't put in, you know, cattle. You can't put in pigs. That has to be in the ag district. So anyway, I don't know if you had any thoughts. I mean, I know it would take some work to figure it all out, but I think we need to do something, and I think we're at a critical point for agriculture in Sussex County, because the growth is going to make it the development. When you ride through Sussex County now in the middle of nowhere, you're like out off of Long Neck, there's Independence out of nowhere, and then you ride around the next corner, there's another huge development, and you got all this farmland around it. And once you start it, it sets a precedent for other farms to be gobbled up. And anyway, I just would love to hear some solutions or some help with land use. And the solution can't be, and Secretary, it can't be, we'll sell. You pay us and we'll do it. That's not the answer. I think the answer is something else. And it's, anyway, look, I'll shut up now for a little bit.
Councilman, I think it'll take a combination of things. And I certainly appreciate your comments and your concerns. If you come to the Department of Agriculture starting this time of year, the number of complaints that we get from citizens of Sussex and Kent County, certain areas of Kent County, about the activities taking place on the farm, these complaints continue to grow. Whether it be noise or odor from a poultry house, or the aerial applicator spraying a field, or the dust and dirt from the farm equipment in the field next door. So, you know, this time of year we start getting complaints, and they'll continue through the fall, and each year those numbers increase. So, you know, I appreciate your comments. The conversation that you and I had a few weeks ago, I took very seriously. Are there ways that we can protect the investment that our landowners and producers have, but at the same time look at creating an additional zoning area for agriculture, using the base of those lands that we have permanently protected here in Sussex County? The concept intrigued me. We have met with the state planning office to go over the basic concept to see if there's a way that we can flesh that out a bit further, if you will, and come back with something that maybe the council as well as the agricultural community can benefit from. So I did take your comments seriously. I have met with the members of the state planning office to look at ways if we can take that concept and build on it, Councilman. But again, you know, there are some things that we really need to look at, in my opinion, to protect agriculture. If we're going to continue to have businesses move here like Proximity Mall and Purdue looking at building a headquarters here. Okay, right. There are certain things that we need to do. So we appreciate it. At some point in time in the future, I hope to be able to come back or have the planning office come back with some ideas on your concept.
Secretary, the future's now, because we're putting this together now. I would love if you had somebody you'd dedicate to work with our, well, she's not here right now, but when she shows up, or planning people, and maybe come up with a proposal, because if we don't do something now, we don't do anything for another 10 years.
No, they are working on it.
Okay,
now.
Good, okay.
And with Dorothy Morris, who is the planner that's assigned to Sussex County, so they are working on it now.
Okay.
So when I said in the near future, I meant the near future.
Real near future, okay, that's good, I like that.
I meant the real the near future council.
Okay, now, I just think it's so important. We're, you know, addressing so many other things in this county, and for us not to do something with the density that's permitted in the ag district, that doesn't help agriculture. We all know that, and and there's no other, I think, county or state anywhere near that permits what we permit in our ag district. So when you just rattled off how important ag is, and then you look at our land use, what we do here, I mean, it just doesn't jive, and each year gets, you know, we lose something else, we keep losing. So, and I'm not even a farmer, but I do care, because Sam reminds me, I got to eat.
We appreciate all the council caring and understanding the importance of agriculture, Councilman. We really, truly do. And I know Councilman Wilson understands the importance of agriculture as well as anybody else does. So thank you.
No, thank you.
Anything else from council?
Yes, sir. I just, Mr. Secretary, if I, in addition to what George was just sharing, because, I mean, the reality is we have been sitting here for several months, and our Planning and Zoning Commission for much longer than that, reference to this comp plan. And it is a known fact, ask our consultant right behind you there, to your left, and people are coming. No matter what we do here, people are coming to this county and desiring to live here and retire here. That's a fact. Kind of no matter what we ended up doing here, they're still coming. You know, based on some of the analysis that you shared earlier, you know, beyond our local decision-making, is just the economy and decision, you know, taxes and various qualities of life that we offer here. So people are coming. And when people come here, they do not understand, and I am the only transplant here on this council.
And we don't let them forget that.
Remind them all the time. But I will share with you that I chose, of all the places in this country, I did choose to live here. I've been all around this country because of the quality of life that we offer here. And I'm not alone, hence why many people are coming here. So, yes, I was not born here, but I will share with you that I perhaps equally, if not more, value what we have here because I chose to live here above all other places. And my point to that is that we have to be proactive in our planning because, you know, when you have people that come here who are not familiar with our history, right?
Yes.
They do complain all of a sudden.
Because they don't know
exactly.
Our history.
That's
they
my point.
They don't know that this is primarily still an agricultural county.
And we will always be.
Well, let's hope that's
always is at least our lifetimes, right? So that is who we are, and I think that's important to understand that. And so you have the two worlds, quote unquote, merging as we continue to grow our population here. So in the end, you know, and sometimes they're at conflict, as we've just discussed and just shared, because the farmers want to keep going, and we want them to keep going. We want them to keep growing and continue to be more effective and more efficient and produce more, and most importantly, is provide an income and a profit for their families, right? And at the same time, we are a destination for retirees. We are a vacation destination. So ultimately, you have this going on, this ongoing conflict, and anything beyond, if you are the permitted 2 units to the acre, and when it comes to the land use, people don't like it because of the additional people and additional population and additional you know, construction and traffic and et cetera. So I think, you know, as we do move forward, I think it would behoove us as leaders of our community to plan for our future for both. And I think always in the years past, you know, I think we have always had the AR1 permitted use. And I think that is not something that I have always liked, because when you have a parcel on Route 1 and people think it's going to be farming forever, it's just not realistic, right? And because, you know, in addition to that, you have to plan for a commercial because people are coming here, right? As the poultry part and the farming part continues to evolve and grow because they want to continue to be profitable, more and more of the uses that are being on the farms is more of an industrial piece, an element, right? Not just your regular family-owned businesses anymore, though that continues, but it's evolving too. I think you would agree with that, whereas it's becoming a little bit more of a commercial base, a little bit more of an industrial base, correct? As we kind of progress in that business and that entities continue to evolve and grow. So I would also encourage, in addition to what George is just saying, is, you know, in reference to the ag land preservation and those easements, that program has been around for how many years?
It was passed in 1991, first funded in 1996.
Okay, so it's been
22 years.
And I'm wondering if there's been any thought process to changing that program. I know we've had conversations here as we look at that, and if there's any thought or any suggestions on actually improving that actual program.
I mean, Councilman, we continue to look at the program, and that's why, you know, the Young Farmers Program was considered to be part of that. And you know, we're very, very fortunate that we, in Governor Carney's budget this year, he is requesting the General Assembly to fully fund ag land preservation at $10 million for the next round. So if we can continue to get what by law we're supposed to get, the $10 million each year, we'll be able to go a long way and continue to purchase those easements. And Councilman, I you know, appreciate your comments, but one thing about my background, that I served as chairman of Kent County's Planning and Zoning Commission, so I fully understand the dilemma. I'm not standing here just as a farmer or as a Secretary of Agriculture. I chaired a Planning and Zoning Commission, so I fully understand what you are going through. We had to do a comprehensive plan, so I can appreciate the challenges that this council faces.
Could you touch real quick, now that you mentioned that, what does Kent and Newcastle County do in their ag districts? What have we seen in Newcastle, and what have we seen in Kent?
Newcastle County. Newcastle County. I want to say probably 14, 15 years ago, really looked at the way that they did the zoning and the allowable uses in the southern part of the county,
right,
where they still had the agriculture. Kent County did the same thing by looking at certain areas of the county where they were going to go and protect those areas of the county from development. So there are certain things that each county is different, Councilman, in their protections. But again, when you look at the concept that you put forth, that is something that maybe if we can flesh that out a bit more, that's something that maybe the other counties may be interested in as well. But each county deals with agriculture and the agriculture zones just a little bit different.
Right.
In Sussex, with allowing the development countywide at the density of two homes per acre, it has caused some serious issues in agricultural areas. So,
and one last thing, Mr. President, if I can add, we had a gentleman allude to the 5-acre definition of a farm. Is that a state law? What is 5 acres a definition of a farm in Sussex County?
What we typically use, there's a farmland assessment law, not farmland preservation,
right.
assessment, which is the tax, you know, tax relief for farming. That's a state law. It defines it as follows: 10 acres or more, you have to generate $1,000 in gross receipts, gross agricultural receipts per year. Which is very low, obviously, not net, gross. Mm-hmm. If you have less than 10 acres of agricultural land, and agricultural land includes cropland, forest land, horticultural, you know, landscape, whatever, growing landscape material, not landscape. So anyway, less than 10 acres, you have to show $10,000 a year in gross receipts on average from agricultural sales. So if you have less than 10 acres, you're probably not going to make $10,000 growing grain. Corn, soybeans, wheat. So if you're less than 10 acres, you got to have poultry house, vineyard, you know, growing vegetable crops, that sort of thing. So that is the law that we typically reference. And it's not in ags. It's not in the ag law. It's in actually in county law. It's in the county. Chapter of state law.
Okay.
You know, and it's I think it's chapter 83.
Okay.
But anyway, and again, farmland assessment, 10 acres or more. A very low bar, $1,000 in gross receipts. Less than 10 acres, $10,000 a year in gross receipts.
And Councilman Arlett, you know, in your statement were saying about, you know, agriculture, you know, being a more of a large-scale enterprise, mechanization. You actually have now across the country, and we're seeing it here in Delaware, you're seeing actually two things happen. You're seeing the big producers get larger, but we're also seeing a great deal of smaller producers coming into the business. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing that segment of agriculture, the smaller producers with a few acres, is growing because of wanting, people or consumers wanting to buy locally, wanting to buy fresh, so you've got a lot more people getting into agriculture with small acreages. So now, those are the two things you're saying.
To follow up on that, and because I know we've talked about this through our consultant here, but have you guys looked at other states to see what they do as it relates to this very subject?
For the Ag Land Preservation Program?
Yeah.
Delaware actually is a leader nationally in the Ag Land Preservation
Program.
They
look to us.
that is a fact. Many other states look to our program because it is so successful. I mean, when you look at having 25% of our land in this state permanently protected and preserved, that's unheard of. So other states look to us in our program because it has been so successful.
So when you get a deed,
it
automatically tells you what kind of land you got. It says you can't complain against the farmer for how much dust he puts out, right?
Well,
how much chemical, can't say a thing about airplanes, can't say a thing about anything to do with farming.
Well, I mean, you know, we do have the right to farm laws here in the state of Delaware.
And that's indeed.
But
right.
Councilman, that doesn't stop people from calling and complaining. And then when people call and complain, I have an obligation to send out our staff to see if there was any validity into the complaints.
Right.
Unfortunately, even though we have right to farm laws and people are knowing that they're buying houses out in the rural areas of the counties, that doesn't stop them from complaining, unfortunately.
I had laid. Called me one time over that. She called me at 5:30 and said, they're right here spraying, because they're spraying sweet corn at that time. And I said, you couldn't call me before 5:30. The plane's been out there for half an hour. How come you're so late? They didn't call me no more.
And Councilman, some of the complaints I've got would just spin your head, I'm telling you. So, but again, once we get a complaint, we have an obligation to go look at it. And for the most part, those complaints are unfounded. Our producers do an outstanding job here in Delaware.
You just tell them read their deed, right?
I wish I could.
Mr. Burton?
I want to better understand the ag program, right? If there hasn't been a lot of funding, has the interest dwindled on wanting to preserve? And with funding, does the interest go back up?
As far as the number of those that were looking at selling their development rights and putting a permanent easement on, that has dropped off some. I think as soon as, if the General Assembly, fulfills the governor's budget wishes and gives us the full $10 million, I think that we will see an increase in those wanting to participate in the program.
There's a waiting period, right? There's a 1 year waiting period. If I'm interested, doesn't it?
Now, once you're into the preservation program, then you can submit the offer to have your easement purchased.
Right. If you sign up, it's a two phase program. The first phase is a 10-year agreement where no money changes hands. And you're correct. So if I sign up today into the 10-year agreement, next year is the first year I'm eligible to try to sell my development rights. So whether you sign up January 1st or December 31st into the 10-year program, the following year you're eligible to sell your development rights, if you so choose.
And the $10 million allotment, if that goes away in the next year, what happens?
Well, the program has been funded since 96 at some level. It just hasn't been funded at the full $10 million level for the last several years, unfortunately. Hopefully, with the budget situation now that we have in the state, that we'll be able to continue. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to continue that level of funding going forward. We also receive some funding from USDA. There is some funding that comes from them for their agriculture conservation easement program, as well as the Navy program that Austin spoke of, and hopefully some money coming from the counties. So if we get that $10 million for the next go-round, on top of the additional money, I think that will spur quite a bit of interest in the agricultural community to get into the program and participate.
Question to council?
Just a comment, if I can, Mike, and I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Because I know, you know, to IG's point, it's. I think that's where I and maybe George made the comment too, but that's where I'm not kind of liking that program a whole lot, because it's all based on the government tax dollars, right, coming in to augment the selling the rights.
But wait a minute.
But let me finish.
The discount. You have to remember that
the
discount on that is approximately 70%. So our landowners are giving up a great deal of the value themselves to get into that program.
I'm not disputing that.
Okay.
So that was just one comment.
Okay.
The follow-up comment is this, because I spoke to another farmer 2 days ago. I spoke to several farmers 2 days ago, because I think Councilman Wilson was spreading the word that, you know, some voting was going on today and taxes were going up for our farmers, and I had to make sure that we clarified
that.
So, but and the farmer that I won't mention his name because I didn't ask for permission to do so, but he lives in the southwest corridor of in District 5, I would say, and a very large farmer, and he goes, ultimately, Rob, it's really simple. Farmers will keep farming so long as they keep making a profit. So I think as we move forward, that has to be the number one objective and goal for our farmers, is to be thriving and viable and not just seeking the tax dollars from the public as it relates to not wanting to sell their rights, if that makes any sense.
Ultimately,
that's what the farmer had said.
It does, Councilman, but you have to have a certain land mass or basis in order to continue to have a thriving agriculture. If you'll go look at Long Island and look at where it was back in 1940s and the 1950s, mm-hmm. and look at the agriculture that occurred there, and if you look at the development that occurred to push agriculture out, you didn't have enough land mass left to sustain that agricultural base, the industries that you needed to remain profitable.
Right.
So that's the dilemma.
I
mean, we have to have enough land here to continue to have that thriving vegetable industry, that thriving poultry industry that we have here, and the grain industry, because once you lose one, then you lose the infrastructure that you need to support it.
Understood. And then I would also, because I've thought about this too many times, and our partners, our Mount Air, our Purdue's, our Tyson's, our Allen Harim's, our partners in this effort, yeah. right? Have we ever approached them in reference to, because, right, they benefit, that's their assets, if you would, the farmers, the local family farms. Has there been any communication from the private sector in reference to getting their thoughts and their input on how to preserve their industry in our county?
Well, since I've been back, no, we have not. But I know that DPI, the umbrella organization for the poultry industry, is very active, not just here in Delaware, but Maryland and Virginia, in communicating to our legislators and to others the importance of the industry and what it means and what their needs are going forward.
So I would just, we have to include them in the conversation.
They should pony up the $10 million to help. To continue. But anyway, I'll just end it. Let's just see if we can create an ag district, and I'd love to work with you and our staff work with you, and we can go forward, because we need to do something. And I think you guys sense we need to do something too. And I just hope some of the farmers, can come up with some good ideas and maybe get with you and maybe we do something. But the solution can't be we just got to buy it. It's all about money, because as IG said, there's more interest when there's a lot of money, and there's no interest when there's no money, because it's all about money. So let's look at maybe that and something else that we can do through zoning.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you. I appreciate your coming down.
Anything else from council?
Thank you, sir.
So last shot.
George,
Mr. Wilson.
George, George, you just made a statement.
Yes, I did.
How are you going to force us to go into more farming and not pay tax on our farmland?
No, nobody said anything.
Nobody talked about taxes.
Thank you, Secretary.
Nobody talked about forcing anybody to do anything, Sam.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. President. Thank you, members of the council.
Thank you, sir.
Come back and see us again.
Well,
him down all the time.
He's bad, but
I'm back now.
I'm going to use that word. But he's quiet. He's going to force it, isn't he? wanting more farmland.
I don't think he's going to force anybody to do anything, but if it, whatever he's going to be forcing somebody, it takes three people to force them up here.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I want you to get up straight.
But we just got to, but.
So you don't go with it.
I try to stay straight, Sam, and you try to keep me straight, so that's a good thing, I guess.